Sir, today's conference is being recorded now.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to our policy update webinar, the 7th of November, 2013, in preparation for ICANN 48 in Buenos Aires. My name is David Olive. I'm Vice President for Policy Development Support, and I'm here with team members from our policy department to present to you some policy development issues that are likely to be discussed in Buenos Aires at our ICANN meeting. We have a team that has prepared the slides for you. If you note, we're going to have the lines muted, and you can put in questions in the chat. We'll be happy to answer them during our presentations. But at the end, there also will be time for questions. Again, for your convenience, this presentation will be recorded and transcribed, and it will be available soon after the end of this event. So you can look at the information at your leisure as well. In terms of our ICANN 48 in Buenos Aires, I'd like to highlight some of the events that are taking place. One, there is an orientation session for incoming members of the supporting organizations and advisory committees, some of them new to their official positions within the councils or executive committees. There will be a DNS forum for the Latin American region. Other highlights, on Monday they will have a high-interest discussion led by the SOs and the ACs, our supporting organizations and advisory committees. There will be discussions of the strategic panels, internet governance. On Tuesday, of course, is the community day with the board. A public forum and board meeting will be on Thursday, and there will be new GTLD sessions running in parallel to these events. This year is a special occasion, obviously, because of the 15th anniversary of ICANN, and there will be a celebration along with music and the gala. You'll see a Latin American focus on an IPv6 workshop, a strategy update on that, plus the Lacrolo showcase on Monday by the at-large community. Just a brief introduction in terms of how policy development is conducted at ICANN. We have, of course, our supporting organizations and our advisory committees. The supporting organization, the generic name supporting organization, the country code name supporting organization, and the address supporting organizations are the main policy development bodies within ICANN. They present ideas and suggestions and proposals to the board of directors. In conjunction with that, we have a number of advisory committees that also have input into the process and also advise the board of directors. This is the at-large advisory committee, the security and stability advisory committee, our root server systems advisory committee, and the Government Advisory Committee. All of these form our stakeholders in our multi-stakeholder process at ICANN, dealing with policy development, DNS coordination, DNS operations, and obviously compliance. The goals for this session are to update you on current policy work and encourage you to participate in some of the activities in Buenos Aires. We'll also review some of the issues that will be discussed by the various councils and working groups at the conference. Hopefully, we'll also inform you about up-and-coming engagement activities and opportunities for you to provide input and to be part of those activities. And finally, we're here to answer any questions you might have on the materials that we are presenting today. So today, the topic will discuss these main issues before the generic name supporting organization. Issues also covered by the country code supporting organization, the address supporting organization, and in this particular case, we have a special guest speaker, Louis Lee, the chairman of the ASO Council, and he'll be providing an update about the activities of the ASO, and also activities of the Root Server Systems Advisory Committee. Then we'll hear about the ESAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, an overview of developments within the Governmental Advisory Committee, and finally, some activities of our at-large group and their advisory committee. With that, I'd like to thank you for participating, and I'll turn it over now to Marika Koenig, who will talk about the GNSO and the policy update there. Marika, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining our webinar. My name is Marika Konings. I'm a senior policy director and team leader for the GNSO based in the ICANN office in Brussels. So I'll be talking to you about the current activities that are being worked on in the GNSO. As we only have limited time for the webinar today, we've decided to focus our contribution on those items where there is either a decision imminent, an opportunity to provide input, or currently a call for volunteers open, noting that all GNSO working groups are open for anyone interested to participate in. And at the end, we'll also have a brief update on those activities where there's no immediate milestone, but for which you can expect one in the near future, or for those activities that are also having meetings in Buenos Aires and that you may be interested to attend or participate in. So as noted here, this is just a couple of the activities that the GNSO is currently working on. We have over 15 projects underway, so very busy, as you can imagine. So the first policy topic I'll be talking about is the SICWIS policy development process. So WHOIS requirements are specified in the registry and registrar agreements that ICANN has with its contracted parties. There are currently two models that are being used by GTLD registries to meet these requirements. One is known as the SINWHOIS model, in which the registry only collects information associated with the domain name, such as the sponsoring registrar, the status of the registration, creation and expiration dates for each registration, and name server data, the last time the record was updated in the registry database, as well as the URL for the registrar's WHOIS service. In the SIN model, the registrars maintain the data that's associated with the registrants of the domain, and they provide it via their own WHOIS services. Currently, .jobs, .com, and .net are examples of GTLD registries that operate under such a SIN model. The other model is known as the SICWIS model. In this model, the registry collects both sets of data, so the data associated with the domain name as well as the data associated with the registrant. They collect that from the registrar and in turn publish the data via WHOIS. From some of the other discussions that were ongoing, it became quite obvious that, for example, from a transfer perspective, a SICWIS would have a lot of advantages, as the identity of the registrant would be known by both the registry as well as the registrar. But there was also a realization that there may be other factors that would need to be considered in order to determine whether SICWIS should be required for all GTLD registries. And as a result of that, the GNSO Council initiated a policy development process on this topic in March of 2012. So the working group published its initial report for public comments earlier this year, and has recently completed its review of the public comments received, and following that, submitted its final report to the GNSO Council. The report and the recommendations in there obtained the full consensus of the working group. And following its review of all the factors that were outlined in its charter, which included topics such as stability, accessibility, data escrow, data protection and privacy, the working group has concluded that on balance, the provision of SICWIS services with a consistent labeling and display as per the model outlined in the Specification 3 of the 2013 REA should become a requirement for all GTLD registries, both existing and future. The report also included a number of recommendations in relation to the implementation of the previous recommendation. So, first of all, it is recommended that following the adoption by the GNSO Council, the subsequent public comment forum, as well as a notification of the GAC, would specifically ask for input on any issues in relation to the transition from SIN to SIC, so that these could be factored in as part of the implementation process. In addition, it was recommended that a legal review should be undertaken to identify whether there are any issues that have not been recognized yet related to such a transition of data that would occur when moving from a SIN to a SIG model, as well as giving due consideration to any privacy issues that may result from such a transition. To support the implementation efforts, it was also recommended that an implementation review team would be created following the board's adoption of these recommendations. At its meeting last week, the GNSO Council actually unanimously adopted the recommendations of the SIG WHOIS PDP Working Group. And as required by the ICANN bylaws, a public forum, public comment forum was opened yesterday to ask for community input on the recommendations prior to board consideration of those. Comments may be submitted until the 7th of December, so if you're interested in this topic, you know, please have a look at the comment forum and then submit your feedback. And following that, staff will summarize the comments received and submit those together with the recommendations to the ICANN board for its consideration. Here you just find a slide with where you can find some additional information on the final report as well as the working group workspace. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Julie Hedlund.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. It's a pleasure to be able to speak to you. And I am giving this presentation along with my colleague, Lars Hoffman, who is also here. And this is on the policy development process for translation and transliteration of contact information. So a little bit of background for you. There was an initial report published on the 21st of March in 2013. And following that, the GNSO initiated a PDP on translation and transliteration of contact information on the 13th of June in 2013. Following that initiation, staff sent out an invite for a charter drafting team, and that drafting team submitted its charter to the GNSO Council on the 30th of September of this year. And the charter drafting team was actually reconstituted briefly this week to make some additional changes to the charter following the GNSO Council meeting last week on the 31st of October. And the Council will consider this revised charter at its meeting in Buenos Aires. When the charter is adopted and approved by the Council, there will be a call for working group volunteers, and then we will go ahead and initiate the work of that PDP working group. And so the two issues that this working group will address and that are addressed in the charter are: should local contact information be translated into one language, such as English, or should it be transliterated into one script, such as Latin? And the second issue is: who should decide who should bear the burden to either translate or transliterate contact information? There are some related issues. The staff has commissioned a commercial feasibility study on translation and transliteration of contact information to help inform the working group. This study should begin, I believe, in November of this year and will take approximately 6 months. There is another working group that will determine the appropriate internationalized domain name registration data requirements, and that group will also consider the outcomes of the translation and transliteration of contact information PDP. The next steps then are the adoption of the charter by the Council in Buenos Aires, the formation of a PDP working group, outreach to the supporting organizations and advisory committees to solicit community input on the charter questions, and the working group will then draft an initial report. At this point, I'd like to thank you all again and turn the presentation over to my colleague, Barry Cobb.
Great. Thank you, Julie. My name is Barry Cobb, and I assist the policy team. I'll be giving you an overview on the protection of IGO and INGO identifiers in all GTLDs. Essentially, this working group was started about a year ago as a result of advice being given to the ICANN board in relation to the new GTLD launch. The advice basically concluded that certain IGO and INGO or IGO identifiers and Red Cross and the International Olympic Committee had certain identifiers that required protection with the expansion of the new GTLD program. As a result, the working group has started. We've been deliberating for the past year on the various issues. Essentially, we're focusing in on protection of identifiers, and what I mean by identifiers is a more generic phrase used to classify an organization's full name and or their acronym that they identify themselves with and communicate out into their particular market. As I mentioned, this is based off of GAC advice, and in parallel to the working group activities, external to the working group, there's been action taken by the board and ICANN in terms of protecting Red Cross, International Olympic Committee, and IGO identifiers, mostly within Specification 5 of the new GPLD registry agreement, but you also noticed that there was some ineligible for registrations at the top level for certain Red Cross and International Olympic identifiers. As I mentioned in the first bullet, any policy changes or outcomes from this PDP will impact both the new GTLDs as well as incumbent GTLDs. Some of the recent developments, in the middle of September, the working group completed its draft final report and opened up a public comment forum that closed at the end of October. Since then, the working group has reviewed through the public comments received and considered those comments and updated proposed recommendations and other portions of the report, which was agreed upon by the working group members. Essentially, we're preparing the final report now for delivery to the GNSO Council. In fact, we hope to submit it to them this weekend in time for the due date to submit motions and documents for their consideration. I want to give you a little bit of a highlight about the recommendations or the proposed recommendations within the final report. Essentially, there are a little less than 40 total recommendations and or proposals that have been considered. The recommendations are segmented by the organization type that is being considered. So essentially, there's a batch of recommendations for the Red Cross, a subset batch for the International Olympic Committee, and then subsequent recommendations for IGOs and other INGOs other than the Red Cross and IOC. Additionally, there's also a set of general recommendations that are included, namely a future possible PDP to determine whether these organizations should have access to particular RPMs like the UDRP and URS, as well as some internal council recommendation to maybe review consensus levels from the working group guidelines, all of which are being packaged up in the final report and will be presented to the council. I'd also like to give you kind of an overview of the protection recommendations, and I'll start off with a disclaimer that none of what you're seeing on the screen or that I'm about to provide in general is meant to replace or provide specific details to the recommendations. These are very general in nature, and I invite participants on this webinar to access the draft final report that's available out on the web page, and that'll give you a much closer view or more detailed view of what the recommendations that are being considered. But in essence, at the top level, reservation protections of full names and an exception procedure for the organization seeking protection will be applied. There are also second-level reservation protections of the organization full name, and equally there will be an exception procedure there as well. However, there doesn't seem to be support for the reservation of acronyms that are used by these organizations. Instead, there does seem to be support that acronyms can be added to the trademark clearinghouse, and that there's also support for 90 days claims notification as to which all of these organizations would be bulk added into the clearinghouse, and the notification itself would probably likely be somewhat different than a traditional trademark notification. And then lastly, I mentioned that there is a possible PDP or at least an issue report that will be created to determine if a PDP is necessary on how IGOs and INGOs could possibly access the UDRP and URS RPMs. So our next steps, as I mentioned, we're finalizing a report. We'll be preparing it for the GNSO Council. The working group chair will provide an extensive briefing to the GNSO at their weekend session, which is scheduled for Saturday morning. I believe we'll have 45 minutes to an hour to walk through the specific recommendations. There's also a face-to-face session scheduled on Monday afternoon. I think it's around 4 p.m. on the 18th. We're not sure whether that session is needed or not, but based on any deliberations that occur over the weekend, we do have it ready to go if this is necessary. The GNSO Council will deliberate the recommendations and the issues around the protections at their Wednesday meeting in Buenos Aires. And then, of course, if any of the recommendations are adopted by the council, then we'll be passing the report up to the ICANN board, as well as an additional public comment, and GAC will have the ability to provide input to the recommendations as well. As with the other efforts, here's some links to where you can find more detailed information. There's the draft final report that I just mentioned was out for public comment, as well as the IGO and INGO webpage, which will give you much more background and history as to this effort as it's evolved over the past year. And if you have any questions, we'll have a session at the end where you can ask more details if you need. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mary Wong, and she'll brief you on the projects that she's responsible for. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Hello, everybody. It's my pleasure and privilege to be speaking to you on a couple of topics today. The first is an update on the drafting team on cross-community working groups, which many of you may recall was an effort started in the GNSO in late 2011. The reason, or one reason why this was started, was that there was a growing recognition, not just within the GNSO, but across the ICANN community, that as issues are more complex, as issues start to affect more than one SOAC, that there's likely to be a need not just for more cross-community working groups, but a coherent framework of operating principles that will allow those collaborations to be effective and to lead to hopefully consensus-based recommendations. One issue, obviously, among several, is that each SONAC has its own mandate, and operating procedures may be very different across different SOs and ACs. That's not to say that this is not an effort that hasn't been successful. As the slide shows, there is one example on the slide, but there are several others that many of us will recall. There are already a number of cross-community working groups which have success. So the idea here is to build on that success and to create a set of principles that will be operative across all the various groups on any one cross-cutting issue. So after the team was formed by the GNSO in 2011, it produced a set of initial draft principles that the GNSO Council approved and requested feedback from the other SOs and ACs. Constructive feedback was received, in particular from the CCNSO that provided a detailed set of comments in June 2013. As a result, at its last meeting in October, the GNSO Council decided that the best way forward would be to create a new drafting team to consist of members from other interested SOs and ACs, and given the CCNSO contribution, to have them co-chair it with the GNSO. At the moment, staff is preparing a paper that will summarize the initial principles as well as the CCNSO feedback and have that up to the group that's going to be set up after Buenos Aires for them to begin their work. So it's our hope that you will look out for the paper as well as for the call for volunteers, and hopefully we will see a lot of participants from across various SOs and ACs. And for further information, here are some of the links. And the second issue or topic that I'm going to speak about today relates to a PDP where the work has just started within the GNSO. and this is in relation to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA, issue that arose from negotiations leading to the new RAA, and the specific issue that this PDP focuses on, for reasons that I will describe, is on the accreditation of privacy and proxy service providers. I've mentioned the RAA. I think, as many people know, the new form of RAA was negotiated, finalized, and ultimately approved by the ICANN board in 2013. A lot of the negotiations were informed by work done by the community, not just the GNSO, but across the community, as well as law enforcement agencies, that identified a number of high and medium priority topics for the negotiations. One of those topics was the use and regulation of privacy and proxy services, and ultimately, at the end of the negotiation process that led to the new RAA, going back through the various topics and work from the community, it was identified that this was the one substantive high priority issue that wasn't addressed fully in the negotiations. That is not to say that the current, or the new RAA, I should say, doesn't contain anything dealing with privacy and proxy. Rather, there is a specification, as many of you will know, that runs through January 1st, 2017, or as and when ICANN implements a accreditation program for these types of providers. So this is the context and the background against which the GNSO is doing this current PDP. In other words, there is a date that we're aiming for, and there are other things that we should be looking at given the past community work on this project. Unlike some of the other GNSO PDPs, this was one initiated by the ICANN board, who requested an issue report at the same time that it started negotiations for the 2013 RAA. I've mentioned a staff paper that reviewed the negotiations and highlighted this as the substantive issue to be worked on in the PDP. This has been discussed quite extensively within the GNSO, and just last week at its last meeting, the GNSO Council approved a charter for the working group that will begin working on this PDP. So, update for everybody. Since this set of slides was prepared, we have launched a call for volunteers, and I will paste the link into the chat. Again, as with the other efforts that we're working on, we really hope that this will see participation from a lot of interested members of the community, from different groups, because this is quite an important aspect of the RAA, as well as issues that impact quite a lot of the community. And so we look forward to working with you to make this a success. As always, further information on these links. And with that, I will hand it back to Marika, who will speak to the other projects that we are working on in the GNSO. Marika?
Thanks very much, Mary. So I said at the beginning of our presentation, we're now briefly focus on some of the other projects that the GNSO is working on, where either you can expect something to happen in the near future or where there are active opportunities to participate in Buenos Aires, because several of these activities are having face-to-face meetings or public sessions. So moving on to the first one, first looking at the purpose of GTLD registration data PDP, which is a board-initiated PDP on exploring replacements for WHOIS. This is a PDP that actually, from the GNSO perspective, is currently in the holding dock, awaiting the outcome of the expert working group deliberations. Basically, as part of the board-initiated PDP, this expert group was formed, and they're working on their recommendations, which will feed into this policy development process. So basically, the preliminary issue report was published a while back, and as soon as the EWG completes its work, that will feed into the final issue report, which will then kick off the next stages of the policy development process. If you're interested in this topic, I would recommend that you attend the session that the expert working group is holding in Buenos Aires on Wednesday, the 20th of November, from 8:30 to 10 a.m. local time. WHOIS studies, as you may know, the Genus Oak Council commissioned several Huawei studies back in 2010, of which two have been completed in the meantime. But there are two of those that active work is currently ongoing. The Huawei's privacy and proxy abuse study was recently published for public comment, and the reply period is still open until the 13th of November. And for the Huawei's misuse study, we're currently finalizing that, and it's expected to be published very shortly. Our expectation is that these study findings will inform the various current and as well future efforts that are being worked on in relation to Huawei, such as the PDP that Mary just referred to, the REA Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues PDP, as well as the efforts of the EWG, for example. Another policy development process that's currently ongoing is on the inter-registrar transfer policy. And this is the Part D, as it's called, which is the final one in a series of PDPs that looked at improvements and clarifications of the existing inter-registrar transfer policy, or RRTP. Most questions in this PDP relate to the transfer dispute resolution policy, or TDRP, and the working group is actively working through those issues and expects or hopes to have an initial report out for public comment by the end of November. This working group will be having a face-to-face meeting, which will be open to everyone interested on Wednesday, the 20th of November, from 10:30 to 12 in Buenos Aires. So if you're interested to attend, you can find more information on the link. Then we also have an effort ongoing dealing with metrics and reporting. Basically, this drafting team is currently developing a charter for a working group that is expected to review how the community can collaborate with contracted parties and other service providers in the sharing of complaint and abuse data. The hope is that this effort will help inform and provide better data as well as metrics in relation to policy development. The drafting team hopes to deliver the charter for Junius Council consideration towards the end of this year, but they'll also be having a public meeting in Buenos Aires. So if you're interested in hearing more about this topic, they'll be meeting on Thursday, the 21st of November, from 8 to 9 in the morning local time. The Policy and Implementation Working Group is an effort that the GNSO started not too long ago. The working group started its deliberations in August, and they've been tasked to address a number of issues that have been raised in the context of the recent discussions on policy and implementation, particularly looking at those that affect the GNSO, such as looking at should there be a specific process for developing policy advice outside of a PDP. Should there be a framework for implementation related to discussions, and should there be additional guidance given to implementation review teams which are currently operating? So as I said, the working group only started its deliberations recently and started out by reaching out to all the different ICANN SOs, supporting organizations and advisory committees to obtain input on their charter questions. And they're working on developing, they hope to finalize their work plan by Buenos Aires. They've also already formed a number of sub-teams that are currently working on developing working definitions and working principles that they hope will underpin the deliberations as they continue. Again, if this is a topic that you're interested in, there's an open face-to-face working group meeting in Buenos Aires on Wednesday, the 20th of November, from 4:45 to 6:15 local time. And then last but not least, I just want to briefly mention a PDP that has recently concluded, or at least from the policy development aspect, as it's now moved into implementation, which relates to the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. This PDP addressed the issue that currently there is no requirement to lock domain names in the period between the filing and the commencement of a UDRP proceedings, and there's no definition of status quo, which is mentioned in the UDRP, which basically has resulted in different interpretations and as a result also complications in relation to this issue. The Genotype Council and the ICANN board unanimously adopted these recommendations not so long ago, and it's now in the process of being implemented. So the next steps are an implementation review team consisting of working group members that developed the policy recommendations has been formed, and ICANN staff has started working on the development of the proposed implementation plan, which will be posted for public comment in hopefully the near future. So I think that wraps it up for my topics. I just did want to mention that, you know, in addition, some of you know, the webinar we do here at the Genotype website, where we share a lot of information, the policy update, we've recently launched a new initiative to try to reach out to a broader community and really try to provide everyone with real-time information on the GNSO and the activities going on. So we've launched a Twitter feed. So for all of you interested in you know, having more information about what the GNSO are doing and upcoming call for volunteers or input and public comments, you know, we would encourage you to join us on Twitter, and you'll see the handle here, and we'll hope to see many of you following us. So with that, that concludes the GNSO part of this webinar. If you have any questions, please feel free to write those in the chat, and we'll do our best to answer those. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Bart Boswinkel.
Thank you, Marika, and good day, everybody. I just want to touch briefly on some of the hot topics that will be discussed by the CCTLD community in Buenos Aires, and may be of interest to others as well. And I'll also touch upon some of the outputs and results of joint working groups, and in the jargon of the CCNSO, and the cross-community working groups, as alluded to by Mary. The first one I want to touch base upon is the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. This is a CCNSO working group with participation of the GAC in the sense of that they have to support the recommendations of this working group as well. So what is Framework of Interpretation? It is not a policy development working group. It is more on the interpretation of already existing policy with regard to the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. So it's there to develop interpretations of RFC 1591 in a consistent and coherent manner. And as most of you will know, RFC 1591 dates back to 1994, I believe, so, and the internet environment has changed considerably. So a revisit was thought to be necessary. Now, where is it at this stage, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group? It's just produced, published its interim report on revocation. This is also known as unconsented redelegations, so redelegations without the consent of the current incumbent CCTLD manager. And it has taken quite some time, as you can imagine, for the CCs and others in the working group to reach a consensus across the working group. And so that happened, and therefore they produced the or publish the interim report and to take in public comments. So when is revocation possible? The working group identified two potential areas when it's possible. So if there is substantial misbehavior by the CCTLDs or there are persistent problems in the operation of the CCTLDs. And a third condition which is identified is that the CCTLD manager is unwilling or unable to rectify that problem. As you can imagine, the report is more nuanced than this, and therefore the recommendations will be discussed at the Buenos Aires meeting. And note, next Tuesday there will be a webinar on this topic. The second topic I want to briefly touch upon is the results of the study group on the use of country and territory names as TLDs in general. The study group published its final report recently, and the CCNSO adopted the recommendations contained in their final report And the first one is that other SOs and ACs are invited to a cross-community working group to review the status and the way the country and territory names are represented across the different policies, so the new GTLD policy, the IDN CCTLD policy, and the CCTLD policy as it is, and try to develop a harmonized definitional framework, whether if it's deemed feasible, and submit this to the participating SOs, ACs for further discussion, and maybe come up with a general recommendations. The second recommendation of the study group was to extend the current rule in the African guidebook that excludes the use or the use of country and territory names in all languages as a new GTLD, with the caveat that not indefinitely, but until the new cross-community working groups provides advice. And again, this will be discussed with other SOs and ACs during the Buenos Aires meeting. A third long-standing and hot-debated topic, and is probably of interest to others as well, is around this, the financial contributions of CCTLDs. At the Buenos Aires meeting, the CCTLD community, together with ICANN, hopes to conclude a three-year process around determining the amount of financial contribution expected from the CC community and around the guideline for financial contributions. The CCNSO Finance Working Group, together with ICANN staff, has for this purpose developed an approach which is called the value exchange model, and it has two characteristics I want to point out to you. Say it's two-way, that means reciprocal. It doesn't only take into consideration what ICANN is spending and say, for the benefit of CCTLDs, but also what the CCs are and what the benefit of CCTLD contributions are for ICANN. So that's the first characteristic. The second one, it has defined value categories that range from specific, or that go from specifics just for the CCs, to shared across the different SOs and ACs, to global, which is very difficult to allocate. Again, the working group will come up with a final report shortly, and will before the BAA meeting, and it will be published, so you can have a look. The second part, as I said, is the guideline. It's an update of an existing guideline, and it has two characteristics. It's the voluntary nature of the CCTLD contribution will be maintained, and it is banded, so more or less along the size of a CCTLD. Just recently, the Finance Working Group had a webinar on this one. The presentation and the recording is available on the CCNSO site. Finally, I just briefly into some of the results of joint working groups in which CCNSO is participating. The first one is the DNS Stability and Security Analysis Working Group, the DSSA Working Group. It will produce its final report and submit it to the participating SOs and ACs. That's the at-large CCNSO, GNSO, and the NRO. Excuse me. And there will be a letter from the co-chairs to the SOs and ACs, the leadership of the SOs and ACs, with the suggestion to adopt the final report as the final report of the working group as envisioned in the charter, and suggest closure of the working group. The second joint working group in which the CCNSO is participating, and which is the joint IDN working group, that is a joint working group with the GNSO, it will produce its final report on universal acceptance of IDN CCTLD shortly and will submit it to the CCNSO and GNSO Council for their consideration. That's the end of my presentation, and now I have the privilege to hand it over to Louis Lee, our guest speaker for this evening.
Thank you very much, Bart. I am the chair of the ASO Address Council, and I'm privileged and honored to be able to offer this update. Changes to the ASOAC since August. Well, we have a 15-member committee with three from each region, and one member from each region is elected each year. For the APNIC region, Tomohiro-san had been reelected. From the right region, Hans-Peter Holland will no longer serve on the ASO Address Council. He will continue his efforts in the right region by serving as the deputy chair for RIPE. And he would also be continuing in the ICANN community as the ASO appointee to the 2014 ICANN NOMCOM. To replace him is Felice, and she, you might recognize her name from her work on the ICANN staff as the person you would go to for community participation. On the Aran region, Jason Schiller has been reelected. For the LACNIC region, Alejandro is leaving the ASO, has left the ASO Address Council to focus his efforts on the LACNIC board. Jorge has replaced him on the Address Council. Later this year, in November, AFRANIC will have their elections, and we'll see if there will be new members or not. Will the ASO be meeting in Buenos Aires? Well, we will not be formally meeting in this upcoming ICANN meeting, but many of us will be on-site throughout the week. We will be conducting a face-to-face meeting in an ICANN meeting next year. Also, many of our NRO Executive Committee members will be in Buenos Aires. Now, we will be participating in the SOAC High Interest Session on Monday. Also on Monday, that afternoon, we will be participating in the Hablemos de IPv6 in Latin America. And that's Let's Talk About IPv6 in Latin America. And during the rest of the week, we will be in open meetings with HRT2, the at-large, also RALOS, and along with the ICANN board. Now, several of the RIRs were formed prior to the formation of ICANN 15 years ago, but about 10 years ago, the RIRs came together and created the Number Resource Organization. It was created to be a framework for cooperative joint activities for the five RIRs, joint activities such as education, outreach, to provide a better way to do the function of the ASO and the ASO Address Council. During the ICANN meeting week, we will be commemorating this 10th anniversary. And if you notice, there is no current global policy proposal in the works right now. We will be sure to inform the community should there be one. If there is interest, perhaps the next update we could include the regional policy proposals and the recent policies that have been adopted. Please offer feedback in that regard if that's something you'd be interested in hearing about. And I'll be passing on to Barbara Roseman, who will give you the RSAC update.
Thank you, Louis, and thank you again for participating today. This is the update on the Root Server System Advisory Committee, and they are currently meeting or have been meeting in Vancouver at the IETF 88. there was an RSAC executive meeting and what they're calling the caucus, which is the larger membership of invited participants. They have two documents that are essentially ready for publication, are going through final review. And the first is 001 is a root server system operator set of specifications for performance. And the second is a set of metrics and measurements for how the root zone is being delivered and served. And this was put in place in order to be able to measure any changes that occur as the root zone changes over time. The executive has recently resolved an issue regarding membership definitions, and they have created a membership committee comprised of three of the representatives from the root server operators to address the remaining issues around the caucus formation, and that is expected to be underway within this month. So during November, they should be able to get their work started. They will not be attending officially at the Buenos Aires meeting, but there will be several of the executive members in attendance. And they have scheduled sessions with ATRT2, the Governmental Advisory Committee, and a discussion about changes to the technical liaison group that are being contemplated for changes to the bylaws. They will be holding a full RSAC exec meeting and perhaps an RSAC caucus meeting at the Singapore meeting scheduled for March of next year. And that will be only the second time that the RSAC is meeting at an ICANN meeting. The first time was 15 years ago. So, and I'm going to hand this over now for the update from Julie and Steve for the SSAC.
Thank you, Barbara. With my colleague Julie, we'll review activities in the SSAC since Durban meeting, as well as highlights for Buenos Aires. Since Durban meeting, the SSAC has published two advisories, SAC 60 on IDM variants and SAC 61 on registration data directory service. I will provide a brief introduction to these advisories and invite you to participate in the SSAC sessions where these advisories will be presented in greater detail. ICANN recently published two important reports on IDNs. One of them is a procedure to determine what allowable code points and variants to be included for the root zone, and the other is the user experience implications for active variant TLDs. Excuse me. This is an important issue. Simply put, the Internet only have one root zone. It's shared by everyone on the Internet and thus needs a set of label generation rules to ensure minimal conflict, minimal risk to all users, independent of which language or script they are using, as well as independent of GTLD or CCTLD. And finally, to ensure minimal potential for incompatible change over time. The report has 13 recommendations, and this slide provides some brief highlights. The first point, the SSAC recommends ICANN to exercise the principle of conservatism with respect to allowable code points, which are the building block for IDN strings, as well as the number of active variants. In the report, it goes into detail how the principle can be applied for the procedure. Second point is to ensure there's a secure, stable, and objective process to handle a situation in which the community disagrees with ICANN's variant calculation. Third, for the stability of the root zone, make sure later versions of the procedure is backward compatible to avoid incompatible results with existing allocations. This recommendation is also because there will be software makers building software based on the versions of the LGR, and that needs to be backward compatible to avoid conflicts. Fourth, the SSAC recommends ICANN to focus the label generation rule set for the root zone, but encourage its adoption throughout the DNS tree to lower levels to bring consistency in this process. And finally, to ensure the eBrew providers and TMCH support variant TLDs. So those are the highlight of this advisory. The next one is the ESSEC also provide advice comments to ICANN's expert working group on the next generation directory service. This is an important issue because registration data directory service is an important service for the community, and the current HUI service is not able to meet the community's needs, especially in the areas of internationalization, access control, and others. The ESSEC has, this goes back as early as SEC 37 and lately SEC 51, pointing to these issues. As a result, the board has formed an expert working group to propose a new model for it. And the model being proposed is called ARDS, a way forward. The ESSEC provides comments in four areas of the EWG's initial report: the purpose of registration data, the availability risks, authentication and access control, and data accuracy. These are detailed in the report. Besides the two documents published, the ESSEC has been actively working on three advisories, and some of them will be discussed in the Buenos Aires meeting. And these advisories are the advice on name collisions, advice on DNS abuse, and finally on the root key rollover. Next, I'm going to hand this over to my colleague Julie to talk about some highlights of ESSEC for the Buenos Aires meeting. Julie?
Thank you very much, Steve, and thank you, everyone. There will be some ESSEC and related events in Buenos Aires. The ESSEC will be holding a public meeting on Thursday the 21st at 8 a.m. local time, and there's a link there in the slide so that you can see the agenda for that. There also are related meetings. These are meetings having to do with DNS security extensions, DNSSEC. There's a beginner's guide, DNSSEC for Everybody. That session is on Monday at 5 o'clock local time on the 18th of November, and that's an excellent session for anybody who wants to learn about DNSSEC and really knows nothing about it. And then there is a DNSSEC workshop on Wednesday. That will start at 8:30 and go to 2:45, and that workshop covers a variety of topics, both at the beginner, intermediate, and expert levels of DNSSEC experience and skills. So we urge you to join us either in person or remotely at these events in Buenos Aires. Thank you very much. And now I'll turn things over to my colleague, Olaf Nordening.
Thank you very much, Julia. And hello, everybody. Time for a few words about the GAC, which I support together with Jeannie Ellers from the ICANN staff side. And well, the GAC spells out, as you know, the Governmental Advisory Committee. And it has currently no less than 129 governments as members and also 28 IGOs as observers. And these numbers are growing. We actually count since a couple of days 29 IGOs. So it's a considerable number. And the GAC typically convenes only for face-to-face meetings at ICANN meetings, which, of course, calls for sizable rooms for them to meet. And in addition, they have performed intersessional work remotely by electronic means and conference calls and in working groups. And their mission is to provide advice to the ICANN board on public policy matters and on public policy aspects on any issues that emerge. So what's cooking right now then? Well, recent advice, and recent meaning a couple of years, has been rather much focused on new GTLDs, and that has kept the GAC very, very busy indeed. Typically, this advice develops into dialogue with the board, and in particular, its new GTLD program committee, which may take some time, and there are two topics which are calling for conclusion, notably on safeguards, meaning safeguards for certain categories of applied force strings, which are related to sensitive or regulated activities, and also on protection of IGO names and acronyms on the second level. So these are key topics that will be addressed in Buenos Aires, but it's not all by far. They have a full agenda at the Buenos Aires meeting from Saturday to Thursday, and most sessions are open, so you can visit either physically or remotely the San Telmo room, and you'll see them in action in person. Well, I said that the GAC work may take time, but be assured that they do their best to cut red tape as quickly as they can. And on that note, I would like to hand over to Heidi Ulrich, my colleague, who will tell you more about what's happening on the ALAC side. Over to you, Heidi.
Thank you, Ola. Hi, hello, everybody. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the director for At-Large, and I'm delighted to give you a brief update on the activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, the ALAC, and the At-Large community that have taken place between the ICANN meetings in Durban and Buenos Aires, as well as provide a preview of At-Large activities that are being planned to take place at the ICANN 48 meeting. The first slide is for those of you who may not be very familiar with the organization of the At-Large community. I'd like to take just a moment to review this, just to go over the organization. At the base are the At-Large structures, or ALSs, now numbering 161. ALSs are organizations that work closely with the local end users throughout the world on ICANN-related policy issues. They provide input to the ALAC policy advice statements, interactive and outreach activities. At the next level are the five regional at-large organizations, or the RALOs, which serve as the umbrella organizations for the ALSs in a particular region. The RALOs select two ALAC representatives as well as their own officers to help in the organization of RALO activities. And the RALOs serve a very important part in ensuring that two-way information exchange occurs between the ALSs and the ALAC. So then leading up is the actual ALAC, the Advisory Committee. This is a 15-member body within ICANN that represents the interests of Internet users. They develop policy advice statements in response to public comments and frequently send policy advice statements directly to the board. A total of 10 members are selected by the RALOs, and the remaining five are appointed by the NOMCOM. And beginning in 2010, the ALAC and the RALO chairs elected one director to the ICANN board, and the process is now beginning for that board director seat to be filled in 2014. I'd like to talk a little bit about the ALAC policy activities since Durban. The ALAC produced 18 policy advice statements in response to open public comments between Durban and late October. And just very briefly on three of those, I'd like to talk what their content was. The first is the ALAC statement on the study on WHO's privacy and proxy service abuse. And in this statement, the ALAC stated its support for the study on WHO's privacy and proxy service abuse and the clear support that the study provides for the development of a strong privacy and proxy service provider accreditation scheme, as well as for accuracy and verification requirements covering all WHOIS information, including those who use privacy and proxy service providers. The second statement is the ALAC statement on the confusingly similar GTLDs. In this policy statement, the ALAC urged the board to revisit the issue of new TLD strings, which are singular and plural versions of the same word so that ICANN does not delegate strings that are very likely to create confusion among Internet users. The third statement I'd like to highlight is the ALEC statement on the preferential treatment for community applications and string contention. And in this statement, the ALEC stated that that new gTLD applications with demonstrable support, appropriate safeguards, and strong emphasis on community service should be accorded preferential treatment in the new gTLD string contention resolution process. The policy advice development process that the ALEC uses is outlined to the left on this slide, including close collaboration with the five regional at-large organizations, the ALSs, as well as the 16 active working groups. And more information on all ALEC policy advice statements is available on the at-large correspondence page. The link is listed on the slide, as well as in the monthly policy updates. Next, I'd like to talk about ALEC and RALO activities since the Durban meeting. The process for the election of the board director selected by the at-large has started. In fact, a call just began a few minutes ago, the first one. That is the call of the board candidate evaluation committee, which reviews the candidates. And the second one, which holds their first meeting tomorrow, is the board member selection process committee. So these two groups that are made up of community volunteers, geographically representative, they will be working very hard all the way through the 16th of April when the candidates or the new board director is announced. The second activity is the at-large community coordinated their activities at the 2013 IGF held in Bali this past month, and members of at-large, in particular AP RALO and AF RALO, held workshops very well. A lot of people were there, and they also volunteered for the outreach activities at the ICANN information booth, and we're hoping to have a few more applications for ALSs coming from that outreach work. Several activities have started that are related to the second N at-large summit, which is the Atlas II. That is scheduled to take place during the ICANN 50th meeting in June 2014. The Atlas II survey, which was sent to all 161 ALSs, over 90% of those contacted have completed the survey, and this survey is going to be part of the way that the agendas for the meetings at the summit will be developed. Also, a new beginner's guide for ALSs will be presented in draft form during the Buenos Aires meeting. This guide contains information targeted to ALSs in particular and to enable them to engage effectively in at-large. And this is part of a toolkit that will be developed for the ALSs prior to their arrival at the summit. There are also four at-large briefing sessions. These are an ongoing series that at-large hosts, four that were held between it's in Durban, are the just recently ICANN at-large in the Internet ecosystem. Another one was held with the ASO members on IPv6. There was one on introduction to portfolio management in ICANN Labs. And finally, one for new ALSs. There have been so many recently that a briefing session was held in order to welcome all of them and to bring them up to speed on at-large. And recordings and of all of these briefing sessions are available at the link on the slide. And I see that Alan Greenberg is on the call, so I've been reminded, seeing his presence, that I've been remiss in not pointing out that the new revised ALEC ROPs, Rules of Procedure, have been operationalized since the 2nd of October, and he was the key author for that. Which was approved by the ALEC. And again, these revised ROPs are going to be helping the ALEC in their process coming up to the next level, level four, as they version four, as they call themselves, which they will be hoping to get to through the summit. And finally, ALEC and RALO activities in Buenos Aires. ALEC will be holding 23 sessions, including meetings with the board, the CCNSO, the members of the ASO that will be there, the NOMCOM, MCSG, and the ATRT2. They'll be also holding several Atlas II planning sessions that are going to move the development of the second at-large summit forward and ensure that all ALSs are involved. And finally, there's going to be a LAC Rallo showcase and reception on the theme of an inclusive Internet with active participation of the individual Internet user. And in addition to speakers, including Fadi Shahadi and other ICANN staff and community leaders, the event will feature an update on LAC Rallo activities. And they'll also have a tango dance group and an assortment of Argentinian food and wine available for you. And you're all very welcome to this. And that takes place Monday, the 18th of November, between 18:30 and 20:00. And this concludes the at-large update. And I give the floor over to my colleague, Rob Hogarth. Rob?
Thanks very much, Heidi. Greetings, everyone. I'm Rob Hogarth. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. While these three public meeting webinars focus on a variety of substantive policy issues, status updates, and meeting previews, David has given me a couple of minutes to talk about another important element of our policy development support function over the years, and that's the responsibility for supporting the resources that ICANN provides to enable all the various community policy engines to function. These functions range, as you all know, from providing the basic building blocks, you know, like conference bridges, meeting rooms, and remote participation tools, and they include our staff role as stewards and facilitators of the advice and policy processes in your various communities. What we're doing now is we're looking at finding creative ways to extend that support where we can. As ICANN has grown and as we expect it to continue to grow, it's become clear that we really need to give our core support functions a higher degree of focus, not only to ensure that we can scale them, but also to ensure that they continue to work for all of you as we move forward. And there's a very basic reason for this, and that, as all of you know, is that really the most valuable resource that we have at ICANN is the contribution of time that you all give to us to make the various working groups operate. To provide leadership support, to, in many respects, make sure a lot of your communities run with your volunteer time in many respects, or extra time that you provide outside your normal work that you're doing in your businesses or in your communities or with your various other work. And so what we're hoping to be able to do is reinforce the existing channels and find new ones to make sure that your needs are communicated not only between the various groups but with ICANN staff, and opportunities also to reinforce your points of view, again, within the policy processes, but also as you look to reach out and expand your communities as well. And so it's really critical for us as a policy team and for an overall staff team to continue to identify not only how we can improve existing tools, to identify new capabilities so that all of you and your work and the work of your communities can be more effective and efficient. So how are we going to do that? Well, at least initially what we're doing is looking to fashion and really make much more explicit this SOAC, if you will, engagement role on our policy team. This means in the short term formalizing that function and changing the roles of some of us on the team. In the short term, that means that my role and Carlos Reyes's role and our accountabilities are evolving to focus more on this area. And David is tasking us with proactively identifying resources and service gaps and obstacles that we can then work with all of you to develop practical improvements or practical solutions. The past 3 months have really been devoted to effecting this transition internally, and we hope to be able to start showing you all some results in the near future. Some of the areas that we've begun working on and making some progress on already, I hope you'll be seeing in practical realities quite soon. One of the particular areas that we're focused on is improving engagement resources. And over the next several months, I think you'll not only see improvements to the ICANN.org space, but also improvements to the usability and functionality of the public comments space. And I don't mean just the infrastructure, but also responding to input from many of you as well as the ATRT2 team in how those functions can be improved. We also started some time ago and are finally getting traction on expanding the toolkit, if you will, of administrative support, and whether that is giving more resources to, for you all to develop publications for your individual communities to promote your work or to bring new people in, to also including outreach support so that you can travel to various regional activities in particular areas of the world that can help promote ICANN in your particular communities, and also looking at either expanded or new administrative supports. So that, again, you all can be focusing on the substance of the work and not so much on the logistical or administrative side. It also is going to give us an opportunity more broadly as we begin a new cycle of independent reviews to really assess, you know, how the ICANN community relationship works and whether the existing structures continue to make sense in terms of how we're set up when we're really going to see a tremendous influx of new participants, new members of the ICANN community over the next year or two. And then finally, I think, and you'll see this from our perspective, trying to really follow up on some of the existing initiatives that Fadi put into place early in his tenure. He had a number of executive roundtables that I think were very successful in terms of some initial exchanges of information, and we're hopeful to expand or follow up on a number of those, as well as just ensuring more consistent senior staff interaction, not only with the SOAC leadership, but with members of those communities as well, through town hall webinars, through other forms of communication and the rest. So I'm very hopeful that you'll be looking forward to collaborating with me, with Carlos, with David, and other members of the team, because we'll really be looking to partner with you all to identify ways that we can continue to improve things. And with that, I will stop, David, and turn it back to you for the opportunity for questions and answers.
Thanks, Rob. This is Carlos Reyes. At this time, we'll welcome questions from the community. If anyone has any questions for our GNSO team or the CCNSO team or ASO chair, RSEC, SEC, or GAC, or ALAC, please raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room, and we will keep a queue, and then we'll allow for our team members to respond. Any questions? All right. Of course, you can continue to type questions as we wrap up here in the next few minutes in the chat, and we'll be answering those as well. But for now, since there appear to be no questions, we'll go ahead and wrap up our webinar, and I'll pass it over to David.
Thank you very much, Carlos, and members of the policy team for your presentations, and for our community members on this webinar for your involvement as well. Of course, we'd like to point out probably the best way to stay updated is to read and subscribe to our monthly policy update. In addition to the webinars we do before each ICANN meeting, we have this monthly publication that is also available in the six UN languages. And that's a good way to stay in touch. The other way, of course, is also to use the My ICANN service. That would also be able to customize your requests for information and reports. That's another useful tool in combination with a subscription to our monthly. Again, you deal with some people more frequently than others, but this is the entire policy team supporting the SOs and the AC groups. We're happy to be part of this policy development process and also to present to you some information today as we prepare for our ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires. So we thank you for your time and attention. And we wish everyone safe travel to Buenos Aires if you're going that way. If not, we'll hopefully be involved with you and remote participation at the various sessions. Both will be offered. And we thank you for your participation here today. With that, I'll wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. Hope to see you all in person or online in Buenos Aires. Thank you so much.